Tadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasani Gaur Bhaktarin Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. As Srila Prabhupada has stated in the very beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam in his preface, his purport, his presentation of the Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for the re-spiritualization of human society. So that re-spiritualization, there are many purports such as this series of purports, which gives the idea that that re-spiritualization has to be done systematically. Many people have the wrong idea of thinking that spiritual life is just some kind of feeling or emotion or experience that happens in some kind of anarchical way. But actually the system of spiritual understanding, that is to be given in a systematic manner, just like we have the book, one of the most important books, Prabhupada translated, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, The Nectar of Devotion, in which the systematic process of cultivating spiritual life is given, outlined by Srila Rupa Goswami. Ado Shraddha, first of all one should have some faith, then there is development, Tato Sadhu Sangha, then the association with devotees, then Bhajana Kriya, engaging in the activities of devotional service. And what are those activities of devotional service? That he's also clearly delineated. Ado Gurva Shraya, Krishna Dikshana Shikshanam, first one should take shelter of a guru, then initiation, instruction. So point by point he's given the development of spiritual life, the development of Krishna consciousness. So that development of Krishna consciousness can take place most effectively if the social life of the devotees or social life of whole society is also structured. Just like even in our own society, ISKCON at the present time, which is set up with the aim of developing the spiritual life of the individuals who come to it. We're also experiencing various difficulties because we don't have a social system based on Vedic principles. The social system we have, or rather we don't have any particular social system, but the social system the devotees find themselves in is the demoniac social system, which is set up, not set up, which has evolved on the principle of sense gratification. And this social system, although it's very effective in making people into demons and preparing them for going to hell, is not at all suitable for development of Krishna consciousness. So many problems we find, just like for instance, there are so many unprotected women, they come to our society according to the Vedic system and according to most social systems, any civilized system all over the world previously, when there was some civilization in the world in previous times. Young girls are supposed to be married at a young age, before puberty, and this stops so many problems even before they begin. But in the modern age, that's illegal, even though in India, especially in Rajasthan, that goes on still a lot, child marriage. But officially, it's illegal. And nowadays in India also, we see mostly the girls from so-called higher class families, they won't be married, they won't get married before 25 because they have to go to college and then they have to go and get a degree in the university and then they come out and then even if they get married, they can't be a proper wife anyway because they've already been flirting with so many men and they have a sense of independence. So anyway, there are so many problems generated by not having properly structured society, not having a society based on, with its central point of understanding Krishna. The four varnas and four ashrams, they're supposed to be organized with the purpose of understanding Krishna. Vishnur aradite pungsam varnashram acharavata purushena parampum Vishnur aradite pungsam. This is stated in the Vishnu Purana that the varnas and ashrams, that society, is meant for Vishnu Aradhyate, for Vishnu Aradhana, worshipping Krishna, that is the central goal, as also stated by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Sve sve kamanya bhirata sangsitim labhate nara, that every person, by following the principles of work within his particular caste, he can achieve the perfection of life. Caste, of course, this word is one of those many words which are misused, misunderstood. The present caste system, as it's going on, of course, now it's going on, it's mostly the caste system has two functions. One is that to arrange marriages, and that's also going out. And the other is to deprive people of jobs in the name of giving jobs to lower caste people. The people from the higher caste can't get jobs. And that's a big discussion there, the whole Mandal report and all this kind of thing. But the previously, the caste system, why they have the idea to bring up the backward castes is because there was exploitation in the name of the Varnashram system. But actually that it is meant that there should be a Varnashram system, that some people, they should have more rights than others because they're at a higher level of consciousness. Therefore, more freedom is allowed to be given to them, just like the Brahmanas. They're given full freedom in human society because it's understood that they won't misuse it. Nowadays, the idea is there that everyone should have equal rights. Prabhupada, in this previous verse's purport, we see Prabhupada writes that at the present moment, the entire world is in this deplorable condition because of giving rights to so many interests. The modern idea is that everyone should be given so many different rights. Just like now in the Western countries, they have this idea, gay rights, that homosexuals, they should be given all rights to do whatever they like, and you know what they like, it's pretty horrible what they like. And no one should say anything against them. And if you say anything against them, that's, you can be taken to court and fined, and in the school or college or university, if you say, and if there's anything said against them, or even in public life, if anyone says anything, then he's severely censured, he can lose his job, because the idea is that everyone should have full freedom to do whatever they like. When I was in Sweden, which was 18 years ago, they had, as Sweden is one of those advanced countries where they're very liberal. The idea is that everything should be very liberal and everyone should be equal. So they were promoting children's rights, that children from the very earliest age, they should also be considered equal. You shouldn't. Why should the parent take a superior position to the child? They should also be just the same and equal. They're also human beings. So I saw this. I was on the street selling some records for raising funds for a preaching in Bangladesh. So I remember I gave a record to one lady who was walking with a child about 5 years old. And so she said, well, do you think we should get the record? And they had a discussion back and forth. No, I don't want it. I want you to spend the money on some sweets for me. And, but don't you think it's a nice, very good thing? It's to help the, and then eventually, they had a democratic discussion. I can't remember if she bought it or not, but I was amazed that she was just discussing as if they're completely equal. This is gross foolishness and leads to degradation in society. Then you have childlike brains, childlike brain power. Then why they shouldn't have children, child prime minister in the country? Why not? They're just, if they're all just the same. Now there's the idea, this women's rights is very prominent, that women, they should be treated completely equally, and they should also have full opportunity to do whatever they like and to get ahead in jobs and have a position and develop their career. This is the cause of total destruction of the human society. Now if I say this in the West, even in our temples, they'll go in the kitchen and bring out the tomatoes and or lash me with their tongue. I have experience that they don't like to hear this, but actually it's a fact. Women are supposed to be looking after children, because if the children aren't looked after, then they grow up, as we see in modern society. People are surprised that we're living in a peaceful village in Scotland, and all of a sudden one teacher, we thought he's a nice guy, but one day he pulled out a machine gun and shot 20, how many people dead? 20, 30 people dead. Oh, we're very surprised. And why are you surprised? If you bring people up, to be lower than animals, then how do you expect they will behave? How do you expect they'll behave if they're brought up without, even in the very beginning, that mother's love, that affection that children are supposed to get? If they don't get that, then they'll grow up with so many, then you'll have to bring in your Sigmund Freud and all this nonsense to explain why they're so crazy. But of course they're crazy if they're not brought up in it. If their father and mother is the TV, they grow up, their guru is the TV, and they see six murders every day, then what are they going to grow up? Then they think it's just a normal thing to pick up a machine gun and kill people. If they don't literally do that, then their dealings with others will be like that. Because on TV, what do they see? Kaam, Krodh, Lobh. This whole human society, the Varnashram system, is meant for overcoming Kaam, Krodh, Lobh, lust, greed and anger, which are the gates to hell, Krishna describes in Gita. Tri vidham narakasya idam dwaram nashanam atmanaha kamas krodhas tata lobhas tasmat etat trayam tyajet. Krishna says that the three gates leading to hell are lust, greed and anger. Therefore an intelligent person should give them up. Therefore the whole Varnashram system is meant for overcoming lust, greed and anger. For the whole of modern society is increasing lust, greed and anger. Especially if you watch the TV, what is that? Lust, sex. Greed, they're showing buy this, buy that. You can actually achieve happiness in life if you use surf washing powder. Or you have to buy a... if you don't have a Maruti car, then you're not even a proper civilized human being. So like this, by the advertisements, they increase people's greed. You have to buy this and buy that. It's very prominent in India now. People are very concerned to show off their status symbols. You have to live in a nice house, and you have to send your children to America, and you have to speak English. Otherwise, you're not made it in human society. You have to have lots of money. So this increases greed, calm, and then anger. On TV, you see again violence. So TV means it's promoting lust, greed, and anger. The children grow up with this, and then they become just like animals, or worse. Prabhupada said that modern civilized man is lower than the lowest animal. Because even the animals, most of them, the snakes, some snakes and fish, they eat their own children, or they kill their own children. But most animals, even you see, the lion is very ferocious, but they look after their own cubs. Whereas in human society now, there are so many children killed. Of course, they say they're not really children because they didn't pop out of the womb. We killed them before they had the chance. But from the very beginning, the mother who is supposed to be the emblem of kindness, we speak about mother's love. But mother's love means, I heard this before. We were thinking of going on holiday, some American people were thinking of going on holiday to Europe this year. But accidentally, the wife got pregnant, so we had to choose between the child and the holiday. So we chose the holiday. We aborted the child. So, and anyway, it's actually kind to the child, because if we had the child and we didn't really want it, then it wouldn't have been happy. So better for the child, we killed it before it even had the chance to protest. So this is modern human society. Because they've taken sense gratification as the goal of life, their whole social, there is no social system. Everything is based on sense gratification. And therefore, their ideas, which sound very nice, everyone should be equal, everyone should have equal rights, but they're not based upon reality. They're not based on the reality of the situation. As Prabhupada pointed out, that you want equal rights, but you don't have equal rights by nature, because you have to bear the child, and you have to look after the child. If you say equal rights, then the father is walking away and laughing and saying, thank you very much, that was a nice evening we had together. And you look after the child. So you have to... then they'll have abortion because they don't want to have a child. They want to have a job. And they want to get ahead in human society. And so... then the women in the market, they're out in the marketplace dealing with men equally, mixing up with them. And the result will be they'll have so many boyfriends. They can't even count, they can't even remember them all. And it's just promoting prostitution. In the name of... in the name of equal rights, simply prostitution is being promoted. So therefore, the human society needs to be regulated, and that has to be done by, that has to be instituted, not simply by rules and regulations, but that has to be instituted by strong kings. Here, Pancharatna Prabhu was telling me about what is the deplorable condition of the king's family here in Jaipur. They have such a proud history. Formerly, the Kshatriyas, they were proud, especially the Rajputs. They were so proud of their honor. Their honor meant more to them than their life. They couldn't come back from the battlefield defeated. They'll either go out and conquer, or they'll die in the process. And if they die in the process, then their women will die with them. If the Mughals are attacking, then rather than have their honor taken away, you know, oh, there's so many places in Rajput, the hands are the imprint of the women's hands before they jump in the fire, because their honor is more than to them than their life. And now the deplorable condition, simply acting like animals, and in public too. Kings is in public, so he's just pitiable, their condition. Because when you make sense gratification the goal of your life, then your whole condition becomes pitiable. In the schools in India, they're talking about introducing character training, and often they call us to schools, please speak something. They want us to come, the teachers want us to come so that we can teach them some character training. But there's no character, you don't have any character unless you have a higher goal of life. If your goal of life is simply eat, sleep, drink, be merry and enjoy, for tomorrow we are all dead, then where will there be any character? And simply people will live like animals. And even in the name of religion, they'll do their guru giri, their guru profession, simply for the sake of collecting disciples. Then you get plenty of money and then you can live very comfortably and give blessings. I'm blessing you. In your next life you may become a Goswami like me, and then you can live very comfortably by cheating people. So this, the whole society becomes spoiled when the quest for sense gratification is made the central principles of human society. Therefore the Varnashram system that was controlled by the king, who kept this under control, because naturally in human society people always have the tendency towards sense gratification. But the king is supposed to be trained in the principles of real human life. The king is supposed to be Rajarshi, a saintly person in the form of a king. But his saintliness he expresses not by going to the forest, but by ruling with a sword. And anyone who doesn't want to follow, who wants to transgress the rules of the Varnashram system, then he will be punished. This way, peace in society can be sustained, not by this so-called non-violence. If there's non-violence, then the rogues will prosper. If there's no punishment, then rogues will prosper. And that we practically see all over the world, especially in India at the present time. Because there's no control, therefore the rogues are prospering and they take the government seats. Prajaste bhakshyishyanti mlecha rajanya rupina. In the age of Kali, it's already predicted that their job will be, instead of to protect the citizens, the kings will be devouring the citizens, eating them up. Mlechas, in the form of rajas. They've taken the form of rajas, they've taken the form of brahmanas. It's also that so many demons are born in Brahmin families in Kali Yuga. What is that? That's stated in which Varaha Purana? What is that? Rakshasa Kali Masritya Jayate Brahma Yonishu. So many Rakshasas are taking birth in Brahmin families in the modern age and preaching the wrong idea, deliberately preaching the wrong idea to exploit people. So this is part of the job of the Krishna conscious movement. We should never think that we are just some other. There are so many mandalis. There's this, some bhakti mandali and so many different groups, and we're also just like that. No, our purpose is different. Our purpose is not simply to have some sentimental bhajan and go on with sense gratification, but our aim is to reform the whole human society on the lines of Varnashram and put Krishna in the center of everyone's consciousness. That the goal of life is to satisfy Krishna. That the goal of life is not even to be a Krishna Bhakta doesn't mean, this we have to preach, it doesn't mean that in your life you have your home, your family, your business, your TV, your cricket, your politics, and you also have Krishna. But rather, Krishna is the center of everything. This is to be preached. This is a great job. Often we are, our own devotees, we are bewildered in thinking how Krishna consciousness can change the social order in human society. But Prabhupada has also given the clue to that, that if the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement stick to their principles and go on preaching Krishna consciousness, then definitely a great revolution of Krishna consciousness will happen in human society. How this will happen, as Prabhupada writes in 1 Chaitanya Charitamrita Purport, that is not understandable by any material means, but it will surely happen by the mercy of Krishna. So this Krishna conscious movement is going on by the mercy of Krishna. And if we stick to our principles and keep our goal in mind, if we don't become compromised to become just another Hindu addition, if we keep our goal in mind that this movement is meant for reforming the whole human society, which is now in total chaos due to having lost the goal of life, that if we stick to our principles and go on preaching, we don't compromise, and just for fundraising or for any other reason, we don't compromise our principles. If we stick to them and go on preaching, then by the mercy of Krishna, certainly this Krishna conscious movement will expand more and more, and people will come to understand what is the message of Krishna consciousness taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and brought by Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Is there any question?
Sometimes you hear people say that in order for Vaishnava society to again take place and for Krishna consciousness to expand, they have this mentality that there must be a king who will come.
Well, the king will come when Krishna sends him, when the need is there. The need is there now, but king also means there have to be people following. Krishna sent Prabhupada, he sent Prabhupada, and Prabhupada trained brahmanas. So Prabhupada said, first of all, the head has to be established. And then everything else will follow. So if we get our head department in order, then no doubt the arm department, belly department, and leg department will follow. So that challenge is still there with us, to get our brahminical order in order.
Maharaj, I just want to know, is there any instance in Krishna's time where Kshatriya was a born Kshatriya, was a Brahmana, was called a Brahmana, not called a Brahmana.
King became a Brahmana.
Well,
of course, Vishvamitra, Krishna, exactly that time, I don't remember, but Vishvamitra was there. And there are so many examples of people from different castes, just like in Rishabhdev, he had 100 sons. The first of them was Bharat, who ruled over the whole world. But then the next nine were the Navayogendras, who were rishis, who traveled everywhere. So Rishabhdev himself was apparently a Kshatriya, but then some of his sons were Kshatriyas and some were Brahmanas. And there are many instances, if you read through the Bhagavatam, there are many instances of some brothers, they take up purely spiritual duties. Of course, in the Bhagavatam, the Raja families are described, the Vamshas of the Brahmanas, of the kings. So out of them, some Brahmanas also come out. We see that also that Priyavrata, he was king's son, but he was acting as a Brahmana, Brahmachari. So he was very much prepared for that. But then on the order of Brahma, he took up the duty of a Kshatriya.
People say that you are casted by your birth, but then we read of some of these rishis who took birth from a Kusha Bras, and some took birth from a deer, from all sorts of different situations.
Yeah, but that would be the agency, but that they would have Just like, who is that? Bharadvaj was born from a pot in which the, he was born from a pot in which the semen of Varuna and Mitra, I think, was kept. But anyway, people say by caste, but then what are you doing? You see, so-called brahmana, they're mostly baniyas or servicemen. Brahmana, then you act like a brahmana. Even if priest in a temple, it's mostly done as a profession. People, nowadays, when we say, I don't know here, but mostly all over India, when we say brahmana should be by his quality, then people accept that. And 20 years ago in India, people didn't accept that a Westerner could be a brahmana or a Hindu or a sadhu, but now they're accepting so many. They're accepting this.
But in Jaipur, they accept that, but they still say that I'm a brahmana because of my birth.
So very good. They're very nice, you're a brahmana by your birth. Now you act like a brahmana. Yeah, you're a brahmana by birth. That's according to social convention, you're a brahmana. So all right, that's your social, by social convention. But that won't help you to understand Krishna. Krishna is Brahmanyadeva. He's inclined towards the brahmanas. But not this kind of brahmana. Brahmana means you have to act like a brahmana. And same example Prabhupada gave so many times. You may be born the son of a doctor, which gives you a head start if you want to be a doctor. It doesn't automatically qualify you as a doctor. You have to qualify. Shamo dama tapas shocham kshantir arjavamevacham gyanam vigyanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavacham. Then you, very nice, you're born as a brahmana, then you act. You're supposed to act like this. The name will be Chaturvedi, but they don't know one word from the Vedas. The name is there. But where's the activities to go with it? So if they say, I'm a born brahmana, say, very nice, you're which Veda are you following? Because brahmana means he must come in one of the lines. Rig, Sama, Yajo, or Atharva. So which Veda are you following? You can ask. I don't know if they can even give an answer to that. So Prabhupada writes, is it here in the third canto or in the fourth canto? I think in the fourth canto. He said there's an emergency in human society. Therefore we have to create brahmanas. Just like the king was created from Vena Maharaj's body, the Prithu Maharaj, he was created by the brahmanas. So Prabhupada is creating brahmanas all over the world. People appreciate that. They appreciate it. If we actually follow, then people will appreciate that. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.